to the Pleiadians, with their vast knowledge of the energies of the universe and the effects they have on the consciousness of man, it was most important that they take this opportunity to lead man towards a new way of life, a path of spiritual understanding and harmony for the future. It is time for us, the people of Earth, to use our higher consciousness to sense the incoming energies and adjust to them, for the effects of these powerful energies cannot be underestimated or taken lightly. To begin with, it should be made very clear that the age of Aquarius is not a time heralding the imminent destruction of the world, but the acceleration of spiritual awareness. Some religions and prophets have incorrectly interpreted the age of Aquarius as the end of the world. This is quite inaccurate, for it will not be the end of the world, but the end of era of ignorance and the beginning of a new time of enlightenment and awareness. It would also be a wonderful and exciting time of new inventions, the development of mind and spirit, and increasing contact with other life in the universe. The coming rapid changes and discoveries in technology will alter the way we perceive life and the earth with which we live. The 12 constellations. Because of the increase in energy from the central sun, the natural rate of development of our society is accelerating rapidly. Think of all of the wonderful inventions and changes we have already been exposed to in the past 100 years. We have come out of the age of the covered wagons, progressed through the industrialization of most of the world, and are moving out into space. Truly, we have made more advancements in the last 100 years than in the past 8,000. It is a most stimulating and challenging time to be alive. Spiritual people will see this as a great time of opportunity, for the increase in energy will accelerate personal growth and enlightenment. It is time for truth and understanding to find their way into our hearts and minds, and it is a time for us to discover new ideas and ways of thinking that will lead us into a new period of peace and understanding. We will discover our spiritual connection to creation and no longer have any need for misleading religious doctrines. It is a good time for prophets, teachers, and light workers. Because of the surge of energy that occurred on February 3, 1937 at 11:20 a.m., the Pleiadians believed that those with the most leadership potential for the new age were born on the first day of the changeover into the sign of Aquarius. Most of these spirits are among the oldest spirits on the earth plane and will most likely work in unseen ways, as they have no need for public acclaim. Many others were born during that year and will be among the teachers and leaders of this new period for Earth. This increase in the energies of higher consciousness on Earth is also helpful to the spirit forms on the other side, for it speeds up the turnaround time for them to return to physical life. Normally, the average turnaround time for a spirit form to return to material life is 152 years. During this present time of energy increase, the turnaround time can be as short as 15 years. It also facilitates the birth of much more highly evolved spirits to come into material life. The majority of people will see this as a period of chaos, and will have a very difficult time adjusting to the speed of the changes and to all of the new events that will be happening so quickly. One unfortunate part of these rapidly changing times is that many people will not be able to cope with the turmoil, and they will turn more and more to man-made belief systems and misleading religious doctrines for help, instead of seizing the opportunities to take responsibility for themselves. Spiritually conscious leaders will need patience, understanding, and mental balance in order to provide strength, love, and the appropriate role modeling. The basic teachings of religion, the Ten Commandments, provide the basis for a good, honest life. However, the problem lies with religious leaders who claim to be the mediators of God who provide the passageway to the doorway of heaven. As the coming times become more chaotic, you can expect many new religious sects to spring up that will take advantage of people's fear and lack of knowledge. Man must face up to being 100% responsible for his actions and his spiritual growth, for there is no God or other divine beings that will do it for him. A friend of mine once mentioned that there is a line being drawn in the sand of awareness. On one side we have the more enlightened and spiritual people who see the coming new age as a time of opportunity, leadership, and growth. And on the other side, we have the people who are not even aware of what is going on. As you look around and observe, you can see that this is true. Most people are consumed with personal problems in life and spiritual ignorance, contributing nothing to the growth of our society or creation, while others are trying to learn, understand, and grow during this wonderful time. Knowing the effects that the age of Aquarius energy will have on us and understanding the difficulties that face us as a civilization, the Pleiadians have chosen to help us with knowledge and understanding that can help us grow and evolve on the right path. They have built another underground base under Russia in order to become more involved in the development of Earth mankind. After years of careful analysis of our thoughts and studying the actions of our world leaders, they have decided that we need the words of truth in several areas to help us move peacefully into our future. What is the meaning of our lives? The Pleiadians feel that the most important information they can help us with surrounds the meaning and purpose of our lives. Probably no greater question mystifies the people of Earth more than this, and at some point in all of our lives we stop to reflect on the purpose of our existence. To those on a spiritual path, it seems almost pointless to be alive if we do not understand why we are living, while those living in a more material world seldom stop to even ask the question. It is the objective of religions and belief systems to offer an answer to this question. However, if you travel around the world, you can find as many answers as there are countries, for almost every religion and belief system has a different explanation as to why we are alive. Quite obviously, they cannot all be correct. As the world draws closer together through technology and communication, there seems to be an inevitable clash or gridlock approaching, whereupon the many answers to this question come face to face and can no longer avoid each other as they have in the past. From the view of the Pleiadians, they see us as a confused civilization that has turned to death and destruction too many times. In their eyes, the misleading explanations of some religions as to the meaning of our lives has served to keep people in the dark, causing confusion, wars, and bloodshed for thousands of years. There has been no greater loss of life on Earth than that caused by religious wars and persecution. The element of fear has been used all too often to control people and to prevent them from the personal discovery that is possible for anyone, the discovery of creation and its infinite logic which guides all things in the universe. The spiritual man who has set aside his ego to travel through the realms of consciousness can find the answer to life for himself. Here, creation can be discovered, and the spiritual bonding of all life forms can be felt. The understanding of the infinite spiritual energy can be realized, and the awareness of the purpose of the material consciousness becomes easier to see. For once spiritual existence is understood, the reason for material life becomes clear. We are spiritual beings, living through a series of material lives in order to feed our spirits through the wisdom learned from the material existence. It is the process of how spiritual development takes place and how we, individual spirit forms, contribute to the whole of creation and its evolution. The spirit needs the material senses to gather information and to form logic from experience. If the wisdom learned from these experiences is true according to creation and becomes part of the life of the individual, then it passes into the realm of the spirit and becomes part of the accumulated knowledge of the spirit form. This is what spiritual evolution is and why we are alive. Our technical advancements far outweigh our social development, and represent a clear and present danger to our future. Science of the universe. During the past 300 years of Pleiadian observation, it has become clear that we are not developing fast enough socially to handle our technical growth with responsibility. A lot of scientific effort has been put into the development of war machines, but how about the science of the mind and spirit? Scientists are continually looking for the answers to how things work. Beginning with the simplest question and probing the greatest mysteries, man is always searching for the explanation of how the universe came about and how we fit into it. Seldom does the scientist offer any spiritual conclusions to his quest for knowledge, for only the more material or tangible answers are acceptable. At some point, though, the use of formulas and calculations will have to give way to the more spiritual aspects of the universe. To be able to explain the mysteries of the universe, we will need a better understanding of the creational spiritual energy that created it. man will have to blend together the conclusions learned from questions asked by material science with the knowledge of spirit in order to solve the puzzle, for ultimately the answer to the science of the universe is the explanation of the spiritual power that guides it. Scientists and spiritual leaders, then, are on the same path, but approaching on different roads. Creation is the spiritual power that guides the universe. It is creation that has the idea to create a universe. Once that idea is formed, it becomes reality in the form of a small existence of energy that contains information on how to begin a universe. That idea is always connected to the creational power that started it and can never be separated. It is through this connection that creation serves as a constant guide of how to evolve. A universe can be described as a material life form that is going through its own development and evolution in order to supply wisdom to the creation that started it. It is the creation which lays out the blueprint for the universe to follow. The creation itself is evolving through a process of discovery which is learned from experience that is provided by a material universe. Creation has an awake period, during which it creates a material universe for learning, and then a sleep period, where there is no material existence. It then reawakens and starts the cycle over again at a higher evolution. It is this pattern which permeates all things and provides the explanation for how all life forms evolve. Since all life forms must evolve according to the pattern set by the creation, it is the understanding of the evolution of creation through the development of spirit which is most important to the people of Earth. As the Pleiadians lay concealed in their underground laboratories watching the growth of our society, the problem of how they could best be of help to Earth without taking responsibility for us had always been a problem. Trying to find a way to help without interfering with our right of free will was difficult, especially in the area of spiritual education. Finding ways to enlighten us on the use of mind and spirit without being detected or controlling our thoughts challenged the morality by which they live, for the Pleiadians are bound by their own laws of non-interference in our political or power structures, and must rely on disseminating information fed through prophets and other enlightened beings. Nowhere in the Western world is there any public educational process that helps us understand how to use the many different levels of mind and consciousness to control our lives and our evolution. Depending on where you are brought up and what kinds of schools you attend, you will probably be taught nothing more than how to read and write, and then be tossed into the working world to stand in line and fend for yourselves. Most of the problems of the world are caused by illogical thinking. Misery, depression, heartache, and other forms of emotional illness are all caused by thinking in illogical ways. Imagine how we could change the thinking of the world if we had a logical process by which we could understand how our minds work with information, how it is stored and used by our material consciousness, and how to use the spiritual powers that are in all of us to keep our thoughts in balance. This kind of teaching should be present in our educational system. There is a logical way for anyone to learn about the many different levels of consciousness and how the inner workings of our minds use information. Through meditation, we can learn simple exercises to help us understand and control our thinking. We can learn to gain access to powers of spirit that connect us to realms of higher thinking and knowledge. Most importantly, we can learn the balance of mind and spirit that is so necessary to make life enjoyable and fruitful. It is generally accepted that life is hard and difficult. This is not true. Once the individual learns to control his thinking and use his spirit day-to-day life, all problems seem to vanish like the rain in sunshine. Luck is a self-inflicted state of mind, caused by doing the right thing for the right reason while in a balanced state of mind. The process of maintaining the state of mind that produces luck in life can be learned and used by anyone. Once the balance of spirit and material is understood and the ego is under control, the human can live a rich life of continued happiness. The history of man on Earth. Another part of the Pleiadian mission is to educate us about the history of man on Earth. Our written history is very short and incomplete and provides little information about the origin of our civilization. It seems very unlikely that the many different races of Earth all naturally evolved here. Yet we have no practical or scientific explanation of our existence here on Earth. Why are the Asians, Caucasians, Arabs, American Indians, and African also different. It doesn't seem possible that we all could have evolved from the monkeys. The differences between us have provoked prejudice and wars for thousands of years, and now that our weapons are getting more devastating, so it's more important than ever that we learn to understand each other and come together as one people, the people of Earth. The Pleiadians tell us that it has been 626 billion years since the formation of the gas ball that eventually became the planet Earth. Most of that time has been spent evolving spiritual energy into a physical world that can sustain life. However, it has only been during the past 400 to 500 million years that human life on Earth has been detected. Modern science believes that Homo sapiens, wise man, first appeared around the Mediterranean about 500,000 years ago, and it's only been in the last 6,000 years or so that details of any kind have been recorded. Our current civilization has been but a brief period in the long history of Earth, possibly nothing more than the last second in a year-long lifespan. Anthropologists look for the explanation of our history on Earth through the study of plants, bones, artifacts, and relics left by earlier times. But the discovery of the origin of man is still a mystery left unsolved, for all of the pieces cannot be found. The cutting edge of knowledge continues to change as we learn more and more about our stay here on Earth. What is missing is the understanding of how life started on Earth, and how it has been manipulated and tampered and experimented with for many millions of years. Through the Pleiadians we will discover how ancient travelers from many different worlds have come to Earth and settled here. At last we will know how the many different colors, sizes, and races on Earth can be found in the history of the colonies that have settled on Earth over the past several million years. Most important are the colonizations during past 100,000 years. The Pleiadians have studied all the languages ever spoken on Earth or millions of years. They have records of the many different colonies that were founded here and blended together to make the very unique mixture of today's Earthman. We have not been left alone to evolve on our own as most planets have, but instead we are a mixture of many different races that have come here over the millennia. It is this mixture of races that are all at different spiritual levels of evolution that has led to the difficult times we are now experiencing. Most planets have only one race, therefore, they have fewer problems. Many warlike races have come here and contributed to our family tree and our bloody history. The unsolved mysteries on Earth. The unrecorded period of the history of Earth has left behind a myriad of unexplained mysteries on our planet, such as the pyramids, Easter Island, the ancient lines of Nazca, and many other unsolved riddles that are connected to our past. The explanations of these mysteries supplied by the Pleiadians will provide an understanding of man and how we came to be here. Once we can see ourselves within the rich history of our past, we will form a new view of our planet as men of Earth, instead of hundreds of independent countries fighting against each other for power and control. The Pleiadians tell us that their forefathers were our forefathers. We are both descendants of a race of people called Lyrans, who have populated Earth on many occasions. It is because of this common ancestry that they see us as distant family and are trying to help us. Through a better understanding of our origins and how we have all come together, we can put together the pieces of our unique humanity, for we are about to move out into the universe and join up with the family of man that awaits us. Contacting the minds of men, it is not clear as to how far the Pleiadians will go to interfere in our growth. The fact that they interfere at all gives us some level of insight into their moral values. They have admitted that about 100 years ago they enlightened some of us Earthlings in order to cause certain inventions to manifest that they felt were needed. As to what these inventions were, we are not certain, but the method they use to transfer ideas is quite interesting. The Pleiadians see the people of Earth as an insane society, rushing headlong to its own destruction, a destruction that can only be averted by a change in mass consciousness. They broadcast ideas, visions, thoughts, etc., at levels of consciousness that can be picked up by our subconscious as we sleep. These ideas become part of our dreams, and then we wake up with a great idea, having no awareness of its origin. This way the Pleiadians do not feel they are interfering with our right of free will, For many people may pick up the ideas, but only a few will act upon them, using their own initiative. In no case do they allow anyone to realize the origin of the thoughts, for that would interfere with our right to create our own future. They want us to be responsible for our own actions and to make decisions based on our own initiative. They have learned the hard way that it is better to conceal themselves and not let their presence be detected, since in the past when they did this on Earth and on other worlds, it did not work out well. They were sometimes revered as gods, feared as invaders, or found themselves in charge of a planet of helpless people who wanted to be cared for. Since none of these scenarios serve their interests, they have taken a very low profile on Earth at this time and have tried to remain as undetected as possible. Around the turn of the 20th century, a decision was made to start physical contact with someone on Earth. This had been tried several times before, but in most cases the person selected lacked sincerity and was not useful to the mission. The purpose was to see how humanity on Earth would react to the idea that they were not alone in the universe. They had studied the thoughts of people all over the planet, but were not sure how most of the population would react to the thought of life on other worlds. For the most part, very few people at that time had given the idea of life on other worlds much consideration. Life was hard, and most of their thoughts and energies were geared towards survival and taking care of themselves and their families. It was quite obvious that, with very few exceptions, nothing was known about the real meaning of life or spiritual growth. The decision was made to contact someone on Earth who would carry the message to the world that they were not alone. We are not told the name of the lady chosen by the Pleiadians for this mission. This is just as well, since the plan did not work out. She was drawn into several physical contacts with the Pleiadians and educated about other life forms throughout the galaxy and the development of life on Earth. She was asked to go public with the information to let people know what she had learned. Unfortunately, this experiment did not work out well. Her first attempts brought ridicule by her friends and family, and she was considered crazy. She quickly gave up the idea of speaking about her contacts out of fear for her life and her position in the community. People were not ready to open their minds to information that challenged the viewpoints of the powerful religions which completely dominated their thinking. It was quickly learned that the people of Earth were too insecure in their spiritual development to take responsibility for themselves. They found it easier to cling to myths or folk stories of gods who would take care of them, providing an excuse for the many difficulties and problems in life. It seemed to be easier to say, "That's the way God wants it," or "It's God's will," than to take responsibility for one's own decisions, mistakes, achievements, and doubts. The Pleiadians realized we were not ready, so they stopped the contacts and pulled back again into a position of observation. They didn't understand us as well as they had thought. The birth of Edwards Albert Meyer. It wasn't until the 1930s that once again the idea of physical contact with Earth was considered. Because of the change that humanity would be going through in the coming new age of Aquarius, it was becoming even more important that the people of Earth be awakened to the truth about the meaning of life. Earth was spiritually stagnant and controlled by men of power and greed who caused wars to make money, placing the attainment of power and control over others above all else. Indeed, mankind was heading towards some hard lessons, and not only was not catching on but was becoming more like sheep, with no power to resist the forces of darkness and illogical thinking that ruled the planet. The time was 1937, and a decision was made to search the other side for a spirit form that would have the ability to carry the message to Earth, and who would try to break down the barriers of illogical thinking and spiritual darkness that plagued mankind. The highly advanced spiritual consciousness of the Pleiadians moved into the realm of the other side and found the old spirit form from Larsen, bringing it back into life to once again serve as a prophet to the people of Earth and provide the knowledge to awaken the spirit of man. It happened on February 3, 1937 at 11 a.m. in Bulac, Switzerland. The spirit form from Larsen was born into the material world and was named Edwards Albert Meyer by his parents, who were simple farmers living by the land and the word of God. It had taken the control and thinking of seven powerful spiritual leaders of the Pleiades to cause this event. Earth now had a new prophet. Born at 11:20 a.m., just 20 minutes later, were three more spirits who might be helpful with the mission. They were also born in Europe and would live close to Edward, so they would be able to help him in his mission if he needed it. The plan was for Edward to be the physical contact, and the others would be contacted telepathically for the purpose of aiding Edward through the many difficult times that lie ahead. Not much is known about these people, except that two of them have died in a car accident. The third person has chosen to remain anonymous. It was hoped that the knowledge the Pleiadians would impart to Earth through the new prophet could help man to better understand himself and rise to new levels of consciousness. The current civilization on Earth had long lived in a self-contained sphere of ignorance, cut off from the knowledge of their ancestry and the spiritual teachings of creation. This would be the most important time in their history, for Earthlings would be gently awakened to the idea that they were not the only thinking human beings in the universe. It was a time of awakening for the people of Earth because they were about to rejoin the universal family of man after years of darkness, ignorance, and spiritual stagnation. It was a time of the Pleiadian mission. Contact from the Pleiades. As creation moved to allow the procreation of the old spirit form into the world as Edward Mia, the unseen hand of Pleiadian consciousness gently guided the newborn infant into life. He would be watched over and cared for from that day forward. The importance of this new lifetime could not be understated, for the Pleiadians were aware of the difficult times to come in the new age. Through this new prophet, they would see to it that the wisdom of thousands of years of accumulated lifetimes would find its way into the hearts and minds of the people of Earth. Of the seven Pleiadians who helped guide the old spirit form into the world, one, an elderly man named Svath, decided to take on the task of watching over young Edward and seeing to his education. In each lifetime that the old spirit form had served as a prophet, it was necessary in the early years of material life to awaken his sleeping spiritual memories and bring forth the wisdom and abilities that would be needed to perform his missing. In this lifetime it would be Svath's job to connect with the spirit form who had become Edward and prepare him for the tasks ahead. Svath began to listen to young Edward's thoughts, which were just developing, but had no plans to make any contact with him for several years. However, at the age of 6 months, Edward suddenly developed a case of pneumonia that seemed quite serious. For several days Svath carefully observed Edward's health, which rapidly became very critical. His mother called in the family doctor. After a short examination, he informed Mrs. Mia that young Edward was in a coma and would probably not make it through the night. After the doctor left the house and Edward was left alone in his room, Svath decided to take matters into his own hands. Without the knowledge of Edward's parents, Svath came into the bedroom and reversed the disease. By morning, Edward's health had returned. Mrs. Mia believed that her prayers had been answered and that a miracle had saved her baby. She would never know her home had been paid a visit by a kindly old man from another world. It wasn't until Edward was 5 years old that Svath decided to open contact with the child by stimulating his mind. At first, simple thoughts and ideas were telepathically sent to Edward, challenging him to try to understand their meaning and to respond. This was Svath's way of getting Edward to use his mind and wake up his old memories. It was easy enough to contact the spiritual side of Edward, but the material consciousness was not yet trained in how to use its spiritual self, so the telepathic thoughts went largely unanswered and uncomprehended. 2 years passed as Edward continued to receive thoughts from Svath without really understanding their meaning. He did not have the knowledge to comprehend the significance of the strange visions that had been flowing into his head. Svath had been monitoring Edward's thoughts and decided that now it was time to open up the spiritual side of Edward, bringing forth the old memories and knowledge that would help him interpret the meaning of his transmissions. To do this, Svath sent the telepathic command to Edward to walk out into the forest near his home and await for him. Edward had become accustomed to the telepathic voice by now and was not alarmed or intimidated, so he simply obeyed and went out into the woods and waited. Sfath was high above the Earth in his spaceship and could sense Tiat Edward was responding to his request and was now waiting in the forest. The Pleiadian spacecraft was locked onto Edward's brain patterns, and quickly darted down into the atmosphere of Earth and headed for Switzerland. Edward looked up and saw a small silver dot in the sky.